Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hi, beloved gods and goddesses, and we welcome you once again to our Zora of Hollow Earth call. Today is a very special day. Zoraya with Zora is traveling this weekend, but today we have a very special call with Dr. Keir Adept. Most of you, in fact, probably all of you, have heard Dr. Keir before present on our call. And at this particular auspicious time, we thought it would be, we were hearing that it might be a fabulous idea to have her back on our call. So she is with us today. Now, before I bring Dr. Keir Adept on the show, let's just take a moment and just go within, get ourselves into a quiet space, place, sitting comfortably on a chair, on a sofa, on the floor, and let's just kind of regroup and just bring some balance into within and externally, so we can receive the messages that we need to receive today to help you move forward with the blessings that are at hand. And so with that, let's go ahead and begin. Now let me get this. All right. And just close your eyes and take three or four nice, easy, relaxing, deep breaths. So breathe in. Hold a few seconds. And relax and release. Breathe in again. Vibrant life force energy coming in directly from source, from Creator, Mother, Father, God. The higher dimensional realms, golden white light coming in through the top of your head, filling every cell of your body as you begin to release all that no longer serves you, all the anxiety, all the stress, all the pains and aches. Breathe in again. Healing energy. Hold. And relax. 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 And now just breathe normally. And open your eyes. Beautiful. That's much better. Okay. Let me go ahead and bring Dr. Keir in. And we are all very, so fortunate and privileged to have her on our call for today. Okay. Here we go. Okay, so hopefully everybody is prepared with a pen and paper or pencil. And again, this call is...
Hello.
No questions. Hello, beloved Dr. Keir. Thank you so very much for being on our call.
Oh, it is my pleasure entirely. Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, I just wanted to let everyone know, they know who you are. You already have so many of our followers already following you with all of the information. So we're all quite excited about this call. So anyways, why don't we just go ahead and get started? We did our little invocation. Oh, no, we didn't do a little invocation. I just want to do a little short invocation, Dr. Keir, just for everybody's
of course.
Inner health.
Of course.
Soul health. Okay, so here we go, everyone. I am we're invoking Saint Germain's violet flame. That violet flame, again, when we talk about all of these third dimensional 3D duality, negative, not so nice attributes that are still lingering and hanging on to us, you use that violet flame to just dissolve and burn, get it rid of it, okay, so that you're completely balanced, you're completely in love, and peace is about you. Okay, here we go. I am my I am presence. I breathe light into my heart center. I am a temple of light. I call forth the full power of the violet flame of forgiveness to transmute the causes of core effects, habits, records, and memories of every thought and feeling, word, or action I have ever expressed in any time frame or dimension, known or unknown, that reflects anything associated with such things as poverty consciousness, victimhood, separation, powerlessness, low vitality, suffering, ill health, disease, misuse of male or female energy, misuse of power, self-hatred, shame, belief in being bad, fear, rage, negative judgment and prejudice, attachment to people, doing things my way, and lack and limitation of any kind. And so get rid of all of that. And so with forgiveness and love as my intention, I blaze a violet plank and subatomic particle and wave of precious life energy that has my signature on it, that reflects anything less than the infinite perfection of God or Source. I trust God, my goddess self, to transmute every speck of my being into the highest love and light and health and abundance. I ask my I am presence to fill the space with a golden light of Source, Prime Creators, Mother, Father, God, infinite light and love and health and abundance. And so it is, and I accept this as accomplished. And it is done, and we know it. Okay. Take a nice big breath in, feeling love and light throughout your body. And so let us begin with our show. And Dr. Keir, thank you again for being here. We know you have so much to present today, and thank you. And I'm just going to go ahead and give you this platform with much thank gratefulness and from all of us to you. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for this opportunity, which I hope will prove helpful to everyone listening. I'm going to go over primarily the exchange process for the RV as I understand it. And I'd like to start out by saying that I am not a legal advisor, a financial advisor, or any other kind of advisor. I'm simply a reasonably intelligent person who has been following this process since 2004. Many of you may know that I transcribe the TNT calls and I also listen to several of the other calls that are particularly focused. And so I have put together these materials to help everybody else out because I frequently get questions. And also, you are welcome to send me an email. If you're not already on my email list, send an email to Dr. Keir, that's Dr. K-Y-R-E at me.com, that's me.com, and mention this call if you would like me to put you on my email list. And one of the things I will be sending out after the call is a file that talks about these same issues and procedures so that you can run over it and have it as an aid to memory for the things that you need to do in order to be prepared for this RV and for your exchange appointment. So, jumping right in. They're basically,
thank you.
There are basically three phases to this whole process, right? So there's what you need to do pre-exchange, and that's the point that we're in right now. I mean, according to all my sources, this is going to happen in the next couple of days. Yay! So pay close attention here, because this will answer a lot of your questions about what you need in order to go into your exchange appointment as prepared as possible. And this makes a difference, because the banks want to exchange you. That's not an issue. They're not going to get in your way. They're going to help you as best they can. But they are also tightly constrained by their own procedures and protocols. So you need to go in there with a sense of confidence, knowing what you are going to ask for, and being prepared to receive it. Because if you don't ask for whatever it is you want, in terms of, you know, rates, fees, services, they will only offer you the default, whatever their bank offers in terms of perks and what have you, and rates. So you need to know this stuff beforehand. And the best way to show that you're a serious person who can be trusted with a large sum of money is to walk into the bank completely prepared for the exchange. So let's talk about the pre-exchange. The first thing is you need to have some kind of plan for how you're going to use your funds, starting with yourself and your own household, your family, you know, your larger family, and moving outwards into your town or city, your state, your country, and the world. One of the things I've really noticed is that because the sums of money are beyond our previous imagination, most people need to think a little bigger. You know, they've got great ideas, but they're thinking about, oh, I'll put up a playground for the local kids. Fantastic. Wonderful. But that's not going to soak up millions and billions of dollars. So, you know, look at your spreadsheet. I'll get to that in a minute. Look at your spreadsheet. Think about receiving 5 to 10% income from that capital fund, and see what you can support with that. You know, we're moving into a time of more than enough, having had thousands and thousands of years of not enough. And yes, it's a stretch to our imagination. So when I talk to people who are asking me for funding, one of the questions I ask is this: if you knew that there's more than enough, what would you be asking for right now? And you, as people who are going to be offering funding, it's really beneficial to both sides if you can come from that place. So this money is not to be hoarded. It's not to be squirreled away. We can afford to be generous in providing food, water, shelter, health care, jobs, education to people who are currently in need. You will have noticed there are a lot of issues in the world, and now is a chance to be part of the solutions. And it's totally okay that you have particular things that you are interested in that you want to focus on, because the whole human set of problems will be covered by people who have different interests. One of my close associates is very interested in veterans, for instance. I'm not. I have other interests. So great. She can cover that side, and I'll cover the parts that interest me the most. Now, in order to prepare yourself, one of the things I suggest is that you write up a one-page summary of any project that you want to create or to fund. And I can provide a template for you to do that. And basically, you need to put your name, contact info, the name of the project, a small one paragraph about what the problem is that you perceive, one paragraph about how your solution is going to help, whatever it may be, and then a further small paragraph about the benefits, both to the people who are in need, but also you're providing jobs, you're providing maybe providing infrastructure, manufacturing, whatever your particular project is. So one-page summary, something I highly recommend. Now, then while you've got your computer out, write down what you wish to accomplish in the first 10 days, in the first 30 days, in the first 90 days, in the first 6 months, in the first year. And if you're on a roll, make it 5 years as well. Now, you know that, or I'm telling you that, you are going to be working with a trust company or a family office, both of whom have humanitarian giving teams. The banks want to know that you're going to be working with professionals. So it's totally okay to say, well, okay, in the first 10 days, I'm going to go in and I'm going to do my exchange and I'm going to deal with this and this and this immediate emergency funding problem. But I'm also going to set up interviews with trust companies or with a family office, and I'm going to speak more with the private side of whatever bank I'm using so that we can start developing this plan. And this overall plan, you should have that within the first 8 weeks, within the first 60 days, if everybody's being reasonably efficient about their job. Now, I want to stress that although the banks place a very high value on you working with professional teams, that does not mean that they, the banks, or even the professional teams, will be dictating what you do with these funds. You will always be in the director's chair. So it's more like, oh, thank God I've got a personal assistant to arrange this, that, and the other for me so I don't have to spend my time doing it. So thank God we've got a trust company that you can rely on, or a family office, or a private banker or a relationship manager with the bank, that I get to say, in general terms, this is what I want. Now figure out how to do it. And they will. And they'll figure out how to do it in such a way that your assets are secure, that you pay as little tax as possible, things like that. So use their expertise. It is for your benefit. And especially make sure that you have professionals outside the bank, because the bank, understandably, is there to make money for the bank. You know, so you want people who are going to work for you and who have your good as their highest priority. Okay, so write those things down. This is not some sort of magical formula that you need to write down. Just talk to a friend and have that friend ask you the question, what do you want to accomplish in the first 10 days? Write that down. What do you want to accomplish in the first month? Write that down. In the first 3 months, write that down. Yeah, it's really simpler. It's more like writing down your thoughts aloud than, I have to do this or I have to do that within these time constraints. Okay, so got your one-page summaries, got your list of what you're going to do, and give some thought to how you're going to use this money without making yourself conspicuous. Right? You don't want to put yourself or your family in a position where, oh, they've suddenly got money, so we want some of it. And that can be your friends and family wanting some of it, but I'm sorry to say, in the world we live in, it could also be kidnappers. I don't think it's very likely, but remember, people will only know that you have sudden wealth if you tell them, or if you have such conspicuous consumption that the whole neighborhood knows. So just be modest. Just take it slowly, step by step. Let yourself be advised, professional team. You know, you've lived in this house for however long it is. Yes, you might want to buy a new house, but you do it through the bank, or you do it through the trust company, so that you are not suddenly and publicly being seen as suddenly having this increase in wealth. Now, having said that, make a list of things that you need to pay for immediately. If you're in debt, clear it. If you're about to lose your house, pay it off. If you have a business deal that really has been waiting on this for months and months and months, not that any of us would know about that, of course, but, you know, emergencies, legal emergencies, financial emergencies such as real estate, medical emergencies. You know, your mom needs to have an operation and you've been putting it off because you can't sustain your part of it. Now's the time. But be specific. They don't want to just generally sort of know, oh, you need this amount. you need to know specifically. For instance, okay, I need such and such thousand for a down payment on a house, and I need such and such thousand for a debt that I need to clear right away, and I need such and such. Do you see what I'm saying? Just write it down on one page as a list, and you're saying, okay, guys, this is what I need, what they call healing funds for. Now, this is if you have Zim only, because if you have non-Zim, then the funds, they will let you have 10% right away, and the rest will be liquid within 24 to 48 hours. Liquid means spendable cash in your account, not just a money number, but money that you can actually use. But it's still good to have that picture. Okay, this is what I need to deal with right away in the first 10 days. Okay, so now what are you going to need to put together to be fully prepared? I get this question a lot. So I have a list, and I will send out this list afterwards to everyone who's already on my email list, and of course, if you email me and ask to be placed on that list. So this is what they're going to need, and I strongly suggest that you get a three-ring binder and a whole lot of sheet protectors. Okay? And you're just going to put this all together as one binder, and you're going to put this in your car or in your briefcase or wherever you can grab it the minute you are going to your exchange appointment. Please, I beg you, do not put this off. Do it now. If you haven't done it already, like I'm talking about today. Okay, here's what you're going to need. Two forms of photo ID. Now, the forms they like the best, this is coming from the banks, the forms they like the best are a driver's license, a passport, or a state ID. They need photo IDs with clear photos. Now, in the past, I have said, because this was my understanding, that something like a Costco card would also work because it has got your picture on the back. But the banks say, no, that's kind of fuzzy. We're not really happy with that. They would prefer a government-issued ID, if at all possible. So, if these have run out for you, get them renewed. If I believe that you can get a state ID even if you already have a driver's license. There's your two IDs. Hmm. If you don't have a driver's license, then at least get a state ID. And also, they will accept originals or true certified copies of your birth certificate or a marriage certificate. Right? So that may be another choice. If for one reason or another you can't get a passport or a driver's license or a state ID. But at least one of these has to be a photo ID. Now, if, like me, you have a post office box so that you don't have any utilities coming into your residential address, you're going to need two bills or the equivalent. Now, immediately after I had the a trip abroad where they were asking for that, it so happens that I had changed my cell phone service and they had sent a confirmation letter to my residential address. So suddenly I actually had a utility bill or equivalent. So what I did for the second one is I went to my bank, which happens to be Wells Fargo and where I have been banking for 15 years. And before I went in, I put my residential address in on the computer in the back office, and I went in, and the very nice assistant manager, with me peering over his shoulder to correct the spelling and punctuation, wrote up a letter that said, Dr. Kira Depp has been a valued customer since 2003. Her passport number is XYZ, and we are happy to affirm that her residential address is, in fact, my residential address, and if you have any other questions, feel free to contact me. Here's my phone number and email address. And that was sufficient for the residential address part, if that's something you have an issue with. Okay, so the first thing you put in is your ID so that you make sure to have it with you. Second thing is you put in your currencies, arranged preferably in stacks of 1 million. But just, I personally put a different currency into each sheet protector. So I've got, it's very important to have all your Zim together, have all your dinar together, have all your dong together, have all your reals together, whatever it is you've got. Then because you've just counted it again, right? Make sure that you have a one-page summary of your currencies. So you say, okay, pretty much everybody only has dinar that is in 25,000 notes. So you say, okay, I've got 81 times 25,000 dinar notes. And you put the total over there in the other column. So you just make up a table, one page, done. And that way they can check it off while they're verifying it at the bank. So you know and they know exactly what you're bringing in. Okay, now, if you have been given currency, make sure to include your gifting letters. Okay? If you have given someone else currency, make sure that you have given them a gifting letter. I have had more questions on this point than just about any other. So, in very brief, the exchange itself, we are assured, is not a taxable event. Give someone a gift, whether it's money or not money, and this currency is considered not money, right? Until it's turned into dollars, it's a gift like jewelry is a gift. Now, there is gift tax. There may not be tax on the currency exchange, but there is such a thing as gift tax. Now, you can give up to $15,000 to any individual in any given calendar year without having to pay tax on it as the donor. They may have to pay tax as receiving it as income, but that's not your problem. If you are giving money or substantial objects, you will be charged 40% gift tax, which is pretty substantial. So you create a gifting letter. Let's say, for the sake of discussion, this is only an example. Let's say you want to give a 100 trillion Zim note, due about $100. Right? If you give it to them and they receive it before the exchange, you will be considered to have given them a gift worth $100 that's well below the $15,000 threshold, no problem. If you wait and you give them the 16 million that this will be worth after exchange, not only will they be paying income tax on it, you know, because they are receiving it as money from you rather than exchanging it themselves, but you will be due to pay 40% in gift tax. Now, let's see, 40% of 16 is 6.4 million on a gift of 16 million. Do you see how it's important to get your gifting letter sorted out right the heck now? Now, if you're the one giving the money, I would suggest having a copy of that gifting letter. But it's equally important that the person receiving the money has the gift letter, because that's going to act as a receipt. And it's not that the banks care so much about the receipts. That's more like the IRS. But they will want to see a paper trail, because what they do not want to have happen is money laundering. Right? That's why there are all these security aspects of this. Okay, so in your folder, getting back to our folder here, you want to have, what have I said so far, your ID, your currencies, your receipts, and gift letters if you have been given currency. Let me just make a note of that. And a written list of your currencies organized by country and by denomination, and then your spreadsheets. Okay, again, I sent out a spreadsheet with the rates 6 weeks ago. I'm happy to do that again. And there are international rates, which we're all pretty familiar with. That's the 371 for the dinar and so on and so forth. And there are also what most people are calling contract rates, but it's more accurate to call them back screen rates. Okay? You will only get the back screen rates, which are substantially higher, A, if you ask for them, and B, if you can show that you are a reasonable person to entrust with this much money. Remember, the bank only has 45 minutes to an hour to make a judgment call on whether you are an appropriate person to have this kind of stewardship. So be neat, be tidy, be organized, dress properly, you know, business attire. You're undertaking a major financial transaction, so respect that. It's not about whether you like banks or don't like banks. This is the way this is going forward. So for the course of that afternoon, play the game. Okay, so you take your spreadsheets. Now, the other reason I sent out spreadsheets, which is equally important, is that most people really don't have a clue about how much money this transaction is going to bring to them. Yeah, you need to expand your mind. You need to educate your mind with how much is coming towards you so that you can disperse it intelligently. I've been working with spreadsheets this whole 14 years to train myself. And I have a very clear picture of what I'm going to be receiving depending on whether it's international rates or contract rates. Now, I'm going for the contract or the backscreen rates. That's me. You can ask for whatever it is you want or that you feel that you can handle. There's no judgment attached to whether you want international rates or whether you want backscreen rates. It's just what you feel you can use in a beneficial manner. Okay, so you've already written up your 10-day plan, 30-day plan, 90-day plan, overall vision. Wouldn't hurt to throw in a couple of pages of, okay, you don't know me, but this is who I am and this is what I'm interested in and you know, this is why I want to do this. So a little biographical sketch or what in British English we call a CV, a curriculum vitae, which is the same as a resume in American, I think. You know, something to introduce yourself to them quickly. No more than 2 pages. Okay. So also, it is not mandatory to have a trust, but if you do have a trust, bring the paperwork because you will want to have them set up a trust to receive this currency exchange. So they need to have that paperwork with you. And typically you need the first 2 pages and the last 2 pages of the trust. My particular trust has 63 pages. I don't really know if I need to bring all that with me, but I probably will because that's me. And of course the 1-page summaries that I mentioned earlier. So ID, currencies, receipts, a written list of your currency. It's the tally sheet is what some of the other calls call it. Your spreadsheets, which you should be intimately familiar with. Your 10-day plan, 30-day plan, 90-day plan, et cetera, a resume, any paperwork to do with trusts, and any 1-page summaries that you've been able to develop. Now, I can give you examples of all of these, and I probably will send out to my existing list this file that I'm reading from and those templates after the call. Okay, so next thing you need to do, this is still all prior to the exchange, is if possible, cultivate a relationship with a wealth manager and or start looking at trust companies and family offices. Now, for people who are already on my list, I've sent out articles about these. These are ways of handling large sums of money so that you just get to spend it and somebody else is looking after the back office end. You know, start at least looking at different companies and what you want from them and how they can serve you. And again, if you're giving currency away, you need to do it before the exchange and you need to have a gifting letter so to avoid the taxes post-exchange. Create a to-do list, the first 10 things that you plan to do, right? Which may or may not have to do with the exchange itself. But, you know, pay off this, send money to grandma, get the doctors involved and whatever your emergency situations are. Okay, now, you will almost certainly be exchanging through Wells Fargo and or HSBC because they are, so far as we know, the only ones handling the ZIM. It's okay if you don't like big banks. I have had accounts at Wells Fargo for 15 years, and I don't like them. However, the fact of the matter is the only way you can do an exchange is through a bank. And once you have that money safely in your account, you can send it anywhere you like. Most of us will be working with private banks. We won't be working with the retail banks anyway. But these are decisions that you can entrust to your trust company or your family office. They can divide the plan and apportion some over here to private investment firms and some over here to a private bank. Or if you want to work with your local credit union and they can accept that much money, fabulous. Get through the exchange first. Then you have a much better position to decide where you're going to put the money in the longer term. Okay. Be organized, intelligent, and businesslike. Well, frankly, you should be like that in anything that you do in life, but that's my opinion. But especially here, you only get one shot to do this right. So take it seriously. Oh, well, I mean, have fun with it, but take it seriously. You know, you wear business attire if you have any, and if not, at least make sure your clothes are clean and pressed. Take advice from other people you know who have done major transactions. Your presentation is actually important. And that's where, by putting all this stuff into a folder, you're already way ahead of the game. Yeah, they're going to look at this folder and they go, oh, okay, somebody's taking this seriously. Great. That's, you want to be in that group that the bank looks at and says, yeah, okay, here's somebody who can maybe handle this kind of stewardship. Let's see how we can help them. Oh, and the other thing to make sure you know beforehand is what you're going to ask for. I touched on this a second ago when I said there are going to be international rates and substantially higher back screen or contract rates. Know what you want so that in the flurry of the moment, you're still capable of articulation. You know, so it's totally okay to say, go in there saying, what I want is, I want the highest possible rate for this, 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 this. Or you may say, I want contract rates on the non-ZIM and I want international rates on the ZIM because that's a more manageable number for you. And you need to have an idea of what that looks like. And you need to keep saying the three magical phrases, which, and long-term multi-generational planning, working with a professional team, especially a humanitarian giving team, developing a long-term relationship with this bank. Those are the phrases that will open the doors for you. Okay, moving right along. And I'm sure there are questions, but we're not doing questions on this call. I'm sorry. If you review the information I send and then have a question, then email me. Please, please, please don't email me with stuff that I've already covered four times in the presentation because I have currently 560 people on my email list. And I could spend my entire time responding to emails. So only the real questions, okay? Please. Right. Let's move on to the exchange process. Now, as soon as I get the 800 numbers, I will send them out to everybody on my list by email. And they will be freely available on the major Dinar Intel or Guru sites. You know, mm-hmm. Bruce will have them, Frank will have them, TNT will have them, Dinar Chronicles will have them. Anywhere that you are already getting information, including Zareya, I'm sure, including Zora's call.
Yes.
Will, as soon as they have them, they'll be broadcast like dandelion seeds all over the place. So please be calm, be relaxed. There, you would have to be living under a rock to not get access to the 800 numbers when they show up. they really will be everywhere. So just be calm about that. Okay, so here's what you do. You call the 800 number when you get it. I got to tell you, I'm going to be calling it before I send it out to anybody because, hey, there's going to be another, you know, 600 people calling in right after me. The 800 number people have been told to limit the call for like 2 minutes. So be super efficient. Fortunately, the information you have to give them is not arduous, right? You give them your name, the zip code where you want to exchange, and they will want to know, roughly speaking, how much currency you have. Now, this is not them being nosy. Different levels require different exchange facilities because of security concerns, because the wealth managers, you know, some are accomplished at up to 5 million and others can handle up to 25 million and others to, you know, up to 100 million and so on. So they have these levels at the banks and they just want to slot you into the appropriate level. So you tell them how much you have and, oh, so the zip code thing. At one point we were being told that you had to exchange within your Federal Reserve District. However, I have inquired about this, and at least my sources are saying, no, you can exchange anywhere in the U.S., and I'll talk about non-U.S. in a second. Or at least think about it this way. I am currently traveling because my dad's ill. So I am in Colorado instead of being in California, right? So if for some reason you are not close to home and you need to exchange, because, of course, I brought all my paperwork with me, then you just say this to them on the phone. You say, okay, normally I live in such and such district, but as it happens at the moment, I am in this other district. So please send me to the most appropriate place where I am right now. And, you know, if the operator doesn't feel they can do it, you just say, can I speak to your supervisor? It's really simple. In any case, they will send you to the most appropriate place for whatever district you're in, and you will want to ask for an email address for someone who's going to be part of the exchange appointment, because you're going to want to send them a pre-appointment email that says, I am meeting you, such and such person, in such and such a place, and here's the time. And I have the following questions that I would like you to consider before I get there. If you have any questions, you may not. And my intention is to ask for the contract rates, I would be saying, and this is the amount that I'll be bringing in. And you send that off. Now, and print it up and put it in your folder. And if they send you a reply, you print that up and you put it in your folder. Because if you have questions or there are going to be special agreements between you and the bank or you and the exchange facility, you want a paper trail. You know, this is all significant stuff. You want to have that all written down so that there can be no argument later if there has been a misunderstanding. So anyway, so you call up the 800 number. They go, oh, you know, how can we help you? Okay, my name, my zip code, roughly speaking, this is the amount that I have to deal with. And they'll say, great, do you want to work with HSBC, Wells Fargo, or you don't care? In which case, they'll assign you somebody. Now, possibly Chase, possibly Bank of America may also be in that mix. So if you already have a good relationship with one or the other of those, then tell them so. You know, they want to help you. They want this to be as smooth and easy and comfortable for you as you can manage. Now, if you already have a banking relationship such that they know that you've got currency and you've asked them to call you when you come into exchange, then you can skip the whole 800 number thing. It's not mandatory to use the 800 number system. It's just the easiest, most convenient way for us to be sent to the exchange and redemption locations that are not in a bank branch. We're accustomed to dealing with retail locations. They are not going to send us to retail locations. They're going to send us to special locations. I hope this makes some kind of sense. Okay. So, and don't worry about whether you like that bank or not. You can move on from that bank as soon as you wish. Okay. So when you have the exchange appointment details and somebody to email it to, you send that pre-RV email. And you mention, I want a wealth manager and a relationship manager and private banking, and I'll be working with a trust company yet to be determined or a family office. And if you have any special questions, now is okay. So then, you go to the appointment. Woohoo! Nicely dressed, or as nicely as you can manage. And, you know, if you're worried about that, I wouldn't worry about security. There's going to be security there. But if that is something that's distracting you, have a friend drive you, take a taxi, whatever. Nobody will know that you've got all this currency on you unless you tell them. So don't. Your security is in your hands here. Go to the bank. And, of course, you're going to be on time, or preferably 5 minutes early. Now, it's possible. I've had different stories from different sources. One source says you can take up to two people, extra people with you. One has said you can only take one person, and it pretty much has to be an attorney. Now, I don't personally see the need to take either, but I can certainly understand that people might wish to have the company, the moral support, or legal support. What is important is that if you want to take somebody with you, they must be on the appointment list. So that's something you ask about at the time you make the appointment. You can't just show up with your lawyer in tow or with your mother-in-law in tow or whomever. They must be on the list, and they must have two forms of ID. This is for security purposes. If they do not have those, either of those, then they will have to sit outside, and they're no use to you. Well, except for, you know, jumping up and down in the car afterwards. So, you know, just be forethoughtful. If that's what you want and that's what you feel will benefit you, then mention it on the 800 number call when you make your appointment. Okay. Now, the only thing that you might need an attorney for is to review the NDA. Now, if you have Zim, you will be signing an NDA. End of story. If you don't have Zim, if you have non-Zim, but you desire to have the higher back screen rates or contract rates, you will be signing an NDA. I mean, those are the terms. So what I have been told is that it's a relatively brief document. And actually, what we're hearing these days is that it only lasts for 90 days. Now, my dears, surely you can keep your mouth shut for 90 days. All they're wanting is that they want to have time for other people to come in, not coming in saying, well, my friend Joe got this rate. You know, my friend Jane got that rate. They don't want any of that. It's too confusing. It's too complicated. They just want people to come in and ask for what they want or what they feel they can get and sign their NDAs and go away again and not talk to anybody about it. And even if it's your family, you don't have to talk to them about it. Now, they would prefer for spouses or partners to have their significant other there to sign an NDA also. But that seems to be as strict as they're going to get. I mean, I think that's very manageable for everybody. And what I've been told is that the NDA has been written in language that ordinary people can understand. So you shouldn't need to have your lawyer with you, because your decision about whether to sign the NDA or not should have been made before you arrive at that appointment, right? Because you already know, right, whether you're going to ask for contract rates or not, right? So you already know whether you're going to sign the NDA or not, because you're not going to get contract rates unless you do. So again, you can be kind of relaxed. They probably will not allow you to have a cell phone or a laptop that has transmission capability. So probably better and safer to just leave it outside or just not take it with you. So that's why you need to have printouts of everything. Yeah. So if you want to discuss with them, okay, I think, you know, this is the rates I've been hearing. If you can do better than that, I would sure appreciate it. And this is the amount that I expect to get, because it's all written down. You've got it all right there in your folder. You're organized. And, also, from several different directions, I keep hearing, guys, if you feel like you're not going to get what you want, back off and leave it to your trust company or your family office to negotiate on your behalf. Tremendously important to stay calm. You have professionals to handle a lot of these details. Right? What I guarantee you will trip you up is if you get belligerent. If you get argumentative with the bank people who are seeing dozens of people every day with not enough time and way too many details, you will not get what you want. So just remember that these are people with the light of God in them, even though it may not feel like it that minute.
That's right.
And you're going to treat them with the same level of politeness and respect that you desire to receive from them. Assume they are on your side. They make money by doing this exchange, right? One of the things that you want to ask, oh, and I should have said this earlier, so thank you for reminding me. In the pre-exchange email, there is the possibility of negotiating a waiver. That's the correct term, I believe, a waiver, so that you don't have to pay the 1.5% transaction fee that they will try and stick you with.
Mm.
You know, the bank will already make a ton of money off the spread between the buy and sell rates. And if you don't know what buy and sell rates mean, please go look it up. They're going to make money no matter what. And mm-hmm. once they have some large sum of money, of your money, in their bank, they're going to make money off that. They do not need to be charging you 1.5%, which is going to come out at millions, just for the pleasure of doing this transaction with you. No. So in the pre-exchange email, you get to say, oh, and by the way, one of the things I'm asking for is to waive all transaction fees. All of them, forever, not just for this, just anytime in the future. No more. You know, seriously, the banks can make up to 1% per day from your money. They don't need this 1.5%. The 1.5% of gazillions means you can support another project. So yeah. That's just something to keep in mind, and you do that before you're at the appointment. Okay, so there you are. You're at the appointment, and they're going to take you through security, which is where you have the two IDs and the thing that proves you live where you say you live. And then they'll sit you down with the actual exchange banker or facilitator. I don't know what they're calling it. And what they will probably say is, okay, what do you want? And you will say, well, I'm here to exchange the following currencies. So they'll verify the currencies. That's where you have your tally sheet to make sure that you and they are looking at the same currencies. And they will give you a receipt. And they'll say, okay, we have verified this, you know, this many dinar and this many dong and this many reals and this many rupiah and this many zim and so on and so forth. We don't actually know whether reals will go through in this first basket, but that's a whole different question. So you've gone through security, you've verified that all of your currency is true and correct in both quantity and quality. And that's when you have 3 to 5 minutes to say, here's who I am and this is what I want. Right? So it's an elevator speech. Okay? My name is Dr. Kira Depp. I run 2 nonprofit foundations. One of them is based in the US and it supports this, this, and this. The other one is based overseas and it supports this, this, and this. And my plan is to use 98% of these funds for humanitarian projects that I am either creating or I am funding, and to use the remaining 2% to, you know, support where I want to live and travel and what have you, you know, for my personal needs and desires. I am unmarried. I have no children. My plan is to set up a multi-generational, say, 100-year plan for 98% of this funding or the income from this funding to go into projects that will help solve the world's problems. Now, I have particular things that I'm interested in, and I'll give them to them in order of priority. And I'll say something like, and I have 35 one-page summaries of just the starting projects that might interest you or not. And you can also say, I only found this out recently, you can also say, and I understand that the bank has a list of already approved projects that I might be interested in funding. Now, the exception to this is ZIM contract rates. Okay, so that applies to all the non-ZIM, whether an international rate, contract rates, and you say straight up front, okay, you know, I'm looking for the contract rates or the back screen rates, whatever the higher rates are. The highest rates that I can get for these money, for these currencies. Now, with Zim, if you want the contract rates, for a long time they were saying there was going to be an 80-20 split, that and that 80% uh-huh. would have to go to Zimbabwe-based projects, and that the bank would have a list of these. They have to be already vetted. I don't know that they do have that list. We've been getting conflicting information on that, but think about it, especially for the Zim. Even if you hand over 80% immediately and never see that, the 20% of the higher rates gives you so much more than 100% of the lower rates. So if you can get them, take them. But you have to ask for them. You must ask for the contract rates. And you can. This is also the moment to say, I wish all fees, transaction fees, to be waived. I know that I'm going to be developing a long-term relationship with this bank. I'm happy to leave some of the money in the bank, especially if that will get me extra interest on the rates, on the capital, on the investments, on whatever. Obviously, I want to have because I'm funding these great projects. I want to get from you the best deal that I can, and that's mm-hmm. when you have the negotiation. But you will only negotiate successfully if you already have a picture of what you want and what you're prepared to ask for. So one of my sources suggests strongly, and I think this is a wonderful idea, is sit down with a friend who also has currency and practice what you're going to say at the appointment. You know, treat it like Toastmasters. Okay, you got 3 minutes. Tell me who you are and what you want. Right, and you practice it so that you will remember to breathe. You will remember what you're there for once you're actually on the spot. You know, we're all human beings here, and this is a big deal. Right. So, you know, practice. Mm-hmm. Now, also about the Zim, all Zim, whether international or contract or back screen rates, is going to be subject to a structured payout, because we're talking about a really pretty big sum of money here. And you have some choices or some requests that you can make about how that works. We had been hearing to 25 years at different set rates of interest. What we're now hearing is that because some of us have been holding on so long that we're getting on in years, that it could be as small as 3 years. Don't know what the interest rates would be for that. But typically, now this is just me, and you don't have to do it the way I do it. You have a lot of choices, a lot of autonomy here. Typically, most people I'm talking to are going for a 25-year payout. Now, in 25 years, if you leave it with the bank, they'll pay you between 2 and 7% interest. And if you take it to a trust company or a family office, you can probably get 7 to 10% interest. So being me, of course, I assume 10% because that's an easy calculation. And I actually worked out a spreadsheet for the next 25 years. And there's still gazillions. I mean, we're talking gazillions. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, do some of that preparatory work. You know, work with a spreadsheet. Have a look. At least have it in your mind. Okay, I've got 100 trillion, and if I get the contract rate, that's 16 trillion. And if I leave it with them for 25 years, and they pay me 10% a year, then that is 1.6 trillion, and that will service a lot of projects.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at those zeros and rejoice. And that's why I'm saying, hey, you know, I'm happy for 99.99% to go into projects, mm-hmm. because 0.01% will be more than enough for me to live
mm-hmm.
in an opulent way. But mm-hmm. you've got to have it in your mind, because they will only give you the default unless you ask. But you will probably get what you ask for. So, something to keep in mind. Okay. So there you are. You're at the appointment. They checked your ID. You've got a receipt. They checked your currency. You've got a receipt for the currency. I'm sorry. And if you've got Zim, and most of us do, they're going to hand you the NDA.
Mm-hmm.
And the NDA is short. and relatively clear and simple. And it's basically saying, don't blab about this, especially your amounts and the rates that you that we agree with you. We just want people to come in with a clean, open mind, without a lot of expectations, and we'll negotiate with them separately. So it should be an NDA that anybody would feel okay signing. If you're really uncomfortable about it, don't. And you'll get the international rates, maybe a little higher if you've got a lot of currency. And you'll still have gazillions. So you're good either way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then you ask them, so you've got to make basic decisions about the ZIM payout. So again, run a couple of spreadsheets, see what that looks like for you. And then you have them set up a new clean account, a non-interest-bearing account. Now, if you have a trust and you have already conveyed your currencies into the trust, very important, I can send you a template, then they will set up the accounts in the name of the trust. And one of my better sources suggests that you set up a different account for each currency.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly to make it more manageable, I suspect. Also, they will give you a debit card and a temporary credit card of up to $20 million per account. That's assuming you have that much. I mean, obviously, if you're only exchanging $1 million worth, it's not going to be the $20 million. Where was I going with that? Oh, trust account. So one of the advantages of having a separate account for each one is that you then get a debit card on each account. But this is only important if you plan to make a lot of purchases right away. Now,
mm-hmm.
for emergency things that need to be dealt with that very day, they will do 5 cashier's checks or wire transfers for you. However, the non-ZIM is going to be liquid within a day or two, and you're going to have debit cards and credit cards. So for most of us, we don't even take any cash away with us, but they will let you have up to $14,500 in cash. If I can certainly see the temptation of taking all those $20 bills, spreading them out on your bed, and rolling around on them. but if you don't intend to do that, there's probably not much you really need to spend that amount of cash on that would not be better served and more secure if you use a debit card or a credit card. So something to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And they will help you with that right away. But if you do have emergency things and you have a list, right, because I've got some stuff, the wire transfers that need to be sent overseas last week, you give them the list and they'll see it done.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, you will never have to pay your bills again. You will have an accountant to do that, right? So you need to get into the mode where you ask the bank to do X, Y, or Z, and they do it cheerfully, happily. Or you have your own team, and you say, could you, make sure this is handled? They do it. It's done. Your focus gets to go on your actual, purpose and your project. Okay, so you would present your list of cashier's checks or wire transfer instructions and ask for and receive a debit card, ask for a high-limit credit card, and you set up your next appointment with your personal wealth manager, trust company, family office, humanitarian giving team. Now, obviously, the bank is only going to set you up for the appointment with their people, but you are going to need to interview a couple of trust companies and or family offices and introduce your team there to your team at the bank. They are going to be working together at least for the next 2 months, even if you end up taking all your money out of that bank. Yeah? There's going to be a transition period. Everything is not going to get done at that first appointment. So at that appointment, that's what you'll do. What they will do is check your ID, verify your currency, give you a copy of the NDA for your files, open a new trust account or ordinary account, but non-interest bearing. Why is this important? Not because of tax reasons. When you have an interest bearing account, you enter into a contract with the bank. If you have a non-interest bearing account, it's much easier for your trust company or your family office to move that money around, because it won't be tied by contract to that bank. You're going to get so much more interest through an investment account, or especially a private investment company, than you will through the bank. You know, it's just not worth it to have 1% a year and then have your money tied down. Now, you may choose to leave a certain amount of money in that bank because they are offering you incentives, certain investment programs, certain perks, what have you. But you need to do the calculations to see whether that's worth your while. Okay. So they will tot up, you know, that you will have agreed a rate for each of the currencies. They will add all that up together. They will say, okay, you have this amount in your account. They will, your accounts, write down the totals in each of your accounts. They will let you know when it'll be fully liquid. For non-SIM, you should be, have 10% liquidity, even from the appointment. For SIM, it may take a month or two because it's all structured payouts. And hopefully you have made a note of all the terms and conditions, and you then send them a post-exchange email that says, it was so delightful to meet you today, and I came away with this, 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 and this agreements. Yeah, because if they choose to challenge it later for some reason, you've got it in writing that this is what happened. This is what you agreed. You get everything in writing if you possibly can. And then you will... Okay, you've arranged for payments. You discuss your humanitarian projects. I have been told not to tell people that you're super interested in disruptive technologies, but just about any other humanitarian project, they'll just lap it up. But they will only have very limited time to listen to you. Okay, in the first 30 days, wire transfers will be limited to $500,000 for security purposes. But if, for example, I'm buying a house right away, and it's going to be more than that. But if I say to the bank person, okay, I need to send this amount by wire transfer, which is over $500,000, but it's going to this escrow company to buy this house. Look, here's the paperwork for the house. They'll say, oh, no problem. They just don't want large, mysterious amounts of money floating around, especially overseas. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then after 30 days, they won't care. So, you know, if it's something that can wait, then it can wait. Okay, so that takes you through the exchange appointment, and you're going to come away with your next appointment already lined up, right? And in the next appointment, you're going to discuss more details of rates, fees, if any. Oh, that's right. Remember, you're going to get a waiver at that first appointment for the fees. For the transaction fees. But perks, services, what do you want the bank to do for you? They will be falling over themselves to help you. Trust me on this. I've already had some preliminary discussions with the private side of Wells Fargo. Oh, boy. They provided crackers, cheese, and fresh fruit, as well as, you know, specialists to talk about this, that, and the other. They want you. Trust me on this. They want you. Or they want your money anyway. So what do you do post exchange? I hear you say, well, the first thing is you go home and celebrate in a quiet, modest sort of way, you know, a couple of bottles of champagne, not the whole neighborhood. remember to breathe. If your spouse, if you have a spouse or your household is not up to speed with what's going on, which would probably be advisable, you say something like, from now on, we have a household budget of this rather than what we were doing, which was that, right? That's all they need to know, is that from now on, here is our budget. You are going to, in the first 10 days, you're going to set up trust company, family office, at least your own personal team that will handle your finances. They will make sure your bills are paid. They will make sure your car has been paid for. They will, you know, if you're buying a new house, you're buying a new car, you can choose it, but they will handle all the transaction details. Huh? So all of that tedious financial paperwork that most of us are really not terribly good at, you will not have to talk about that. You just say, this is what I want, and your team says, and when would you like that? So it's going to make our lives much more easy and focused on what we are passionate about. So the next thing you do after you've had a glass of champagne and slept off the hangover is to engage your professional team. I sent some information about trust companies out and a couple of articles on family offices. They are not hard to find. You just get a hold of a couple that feel right to you. Each one handles things in a slightly different way. Interview a couple of them, see where you have a good fit, and tell them the amounts that you are talking about that are already in whatever bank you exchange through. And they will talk with your private manager and your wealth, your relationship manager to start looking at a plan. Now, they will interview you over the course of the first month to see what you want to do with the money. I really want to emphasize that you don't give up any autonomy here, that it will always be you making the policy decisions. If you don't want to invest in hydrocarbons, for instance, you don't like big oil, you don't like big pharma, I certainly don't, you can say to them, okay, you know, I have an ethical investing policy. What can you do for me? But most of all, they will work out a plan for using most of this money for projects. And they may be your projects. There'll certainly be enough for that. But they may also be national and international projects that they do the research on. And they will say, okay, we think that your best strategy here is to do support this, 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 this at this level, and that will still leave you plenty of money for your own personal projects over here. Yeah. So, but it's always going to be with your permission, your policy, your perspective in mind. You are the stewards of this money. And that will always be the case. So you're going to talk to them, and they will advise you on what entities to set up. So when I say a trust company, that you don't have to have a trust in order to do the exchange. I mean, I am, and my personal group all have trusts, because that's another way of showing the bank that you're prepared, and you'll probably get priority treatment. But a trust company is a company that looks over your financial affairs as a whole and develops the detailed strategy and tactics. And they do it from a professional level of experience. So, you know, if you do, maybe you want to support this project over here, well, you can just give them the money, but if you do it this way, you get a tax write-off. Well, they will know that, you may not. So take their advice, you know. And if you don't like the direction they're steering you in, you either say something and they'll change it, or you engage with a different company. I will be working probably with 3 or 4 investment groups, and I'll say to them straightforwardly and to the bank, I'm putting my money in 4 different directions, and whoever does the best for me will probably get my long-term business. You know, they're used, that's money mm-hmm. talking. They're used to that. There's no problem mm-hmm. there. Mm-hmm. So the trust company or the family office will tell you which trusts and foundations and what have you to set up, in what order, how they're going to be connected, and they'll do it in a way that protects your assets in general and from the IRS. And I know that there is a perspective that says we won't have the IRS for much longer. I have no opinion about that. Such as this information is based on what we have to deal with right at the moment. So protect mm-hmm. yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that's the key. Those are the key points. Pre-exchange, exchange, post-exchange. I've got all this written down as lists. Zareya, you were so kind as to call me beforehand with a couple of questions. So I'd just like to run over those if that's appropriate right now. Does that work?
Here. Yes, this is Jane.
Yeah. Hi.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Hi.
Yeah. I'm so used to
it.
You really.
Yeah. That's okay. We're pretty together. So I guess one of the questions was in regards to Canada and other countries. How should they be handling all of this? And then if you could touch also, if you know much about it, all about the quantum system, quantum financial system, supposedly that's kind of going to be a part of this. And I don't know how that all fits into all of and let me see, what was the other question? I can't think of the other question. I'll remember.
I've got a little list here. Canada contract rates, TNT, humanitarian projects, trust companies.
Oh,
I've already looked at that. Gift letters also, and 2ID.
Okay. Right.
Good.
Okay.
All right. Let's look at Canada. Now, I have some good news and some bad news. You will be able to exchange in Canada. You'll be able to exchange probably in every country in the world. However, what I have recently been told, and frankly, I have no way of confirming any of this apart from my faith in my sources. But my highest and best source recently said that the international rates and to an extent, obviously, the market rates will be available in Canada and every other country. Now, a market rate is that we think, especially with the NAR, that if you wait a week or two until the hedge funds and the Forex guys get all excited, that probably the market rate will go up. Almost certainly for dinar, quite possibly for dong, not too sure about the other currencies, almost certainly not for Zim. Zim is a special case anyway. However, contract or back screen rates are apparently only available in the U.S. So, dear Canadians, and I'd say I could be wrong, and the situation changes all the time, but I just need to alert you, this is the latest information I have. So, Canadians, if you have any possibility of crossing the border and exchanging the U.S., you know, maybe you've worked in the U.S., maybe you have cousins or family in the U.S. That can help you out here, do it. Because if you want the contract rates, if you don't care about the contract rates, you're golden anyway. Because you will certainly get the international rates and or the market rates in Canada. I believe that there are two lead banks in Canada. I'm not, frankly, totally sure which ones they are. I think TD is one of them, but I'm not 100% sure. And in the U.S., the lead banks are HSBC and Wells Fargo. And I believe you actually have HSBC in Canada also. So, but here's the good deal. And again, this is a question I get over and over again. Will there be, you know, we don't have Wells Fargo or HSBC in my area. Well, that's what the 800 number's for. They will send you to the most appropriate exchange or redemption center in your area. And the same is true for Canada. Now, my understanding is that there will be an 800 number specifically for Canada. And then they will be able to send you to whatever the best place is for you. And they will also offer you a choice of banks, same as they do in the U.S. And if you don't feel you like either of those or you don't feel able to make a choice, they will, I'm sure, throw a dart at the dartboard and send you wherever that, you know, I'm sure they have a random number generator to send you to the right place. You know, you need to have some trust here that that spirit will direct you correctly.
Yes, absolutely. I think one of the, Dr. Keir, as far as all the other countries, because this is global, for a day, everyone who's like from a different, you know, like in Europe, Australia, wherever you're from, you know, they've got all kinds of banks there. They've got the lead banks there. You know, they need to be able to, when this happens, they need to be able to contact those banks, correct?
Yeah.
Or something, something will come up that an 800 number will show up for them somehow.
I really think so. I do have people in the groups that I work with who, especially in Australia, New Zealand, a couple in Singapore, and some in Europe, and a clutch in the UK. And I don't have specific information for them, but again, let me remind you, the banks want you to come in and exchange. They are going to make it easy for you. And so I imagine that there are going to be 800 numbers in all of those other countries. I know there will be in Canada and obviously in the U.S. It's just a matter of staying alert. Now, when I receive them, whatever I receive, I will send out. And I hope that mm-hmm. there may be some 800 numbers for Australia, New Zealand, for the UK, for Europe, for wherever,
sure.
certainly for Canada and the US.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I have not been, what's the word I'm looking for? I guess informed is as good as any. Trained, maybe
mm-hmm.
is a better word. Yeah. I mean, so
okay.
I'm going
right.
on the information I get from everywhere else. But what I've been told over and over again, including from my highest sources, is, guys, there will be 800 numbers on all the main sites. So you don't even
right.
have to wait for me to send them out or Jane for you to send them out.
Right, exactly.
You know, seriously, getting the 800 numbers is just not an issue. Okay, so that's what I've heard about Canada. Yes, they have two main banks. Yes, you'll be able to exchange, but probably not at the contract rates unless you can come to the U.S. So if you so part of your preparation, if that's something that's important to you, is to get in touch with your American contacts and see whether there's some way for you to come, you know, fly down to the U.S. or drive down to the U.S. and exchange here. Okay. Now, the TNT perspective on humanitarian projects has changed back and forth a little bit. At one time, we were being told that the ZIM projects, that you would have to sign up for some of the ZIM projects, Zimbabwe, vetted and what have you, in order to get the contract rates or the back screen rates. Now they're saying that there will be projects, both nationally and internationally, that you can invest in or give to after your exchange, not as a mandatory part of your exchange, and that will actually give you very good returns.
Okay.
And some of them are in Zimbabwe and some are not. I mean, they were talking about if you were putting a lot of money in, like a gazillion,
mm-hmm.
They were talking about, you know, up to 2.25% per day. Now, that's an enormous amount of interest. Not all projects obviously will function at that level.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my personal feeling and opinion and perspective on this, is work with your team and see
mm-hmm.
what they recommend. What I do know is that I have suggested to people that they do one-page summaries, but that is more to show that you are prepared. In general, the banks will not send money directly to any of your projects because they have to go through this whole vetting process first. But you can send money to your projects because they're going to
mm-hmm.
give you a lot of money because you're showing them that you're prepared and that you are focused on humanitarian and philanthropic endeavors. So I think the fact of the matter is that there's a bit of a cloud of unknowing about this whole project end of things. So just prepare yourself as best you can, do some research on the kind of projects you want to support, and think of a number, and then not just double it, multiply by 10. You know, go to your spreadsheet, work out how much money on the low side and on the high side you are likely to be handling per year. And then look at what people already doing projects in the area that interests you, what they require. Because you're going to find that you could support 100 major projects. And
mm-hmm.
you are not going to be administering those projects. You are going to be saying to your team, I'm really keen to support this kind of project. Look, here are a couple of examples. Find out what they want. And let's give it to them times 10. You know,
yes.
So one of the questions I ask people coming to me for project funds is, assuming we actually live in a world where there's more than enough, what do you want? What do you desire? What would allow you to do this project at the level of your dreams rather than the housekeeping level of, can I get away with doing it for this smaller amount? That's
great.
The opposite of the issue we're going to have. Our issue is going to be, oh gosh, I've got to get rid of another 10 million by the end of the year.
Yeah.
Or 10 trillion. We're
That's
going
right.
to be looking for who can we employ? What can we do? How can we make this project even better? Who can we help over here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To soak up
yeah.
this money. And when you really grasp that, it changes the way you look at financial planning. Right? Okay. Trust company, gift letter. Yep. Quantum financial shift.
Yes. Thank you.
To be perfectly honest with you, I don't really know much about this. What my highest sources have been saying is that really this money is the tip of the iceberg that is going to change everything about our financial system. I mean, for a start, the national debt in all countries will be resolved. So we're not going to have to do things to service that debt. And most personal debts will be resolved too. So that's a lot of stress and tension gone out the window, thank God. Everybody's going to have enough, not just from this exchange, but through the prosperity programs, even the way this exchange has been structured. We're tier four individuals, and tier one and tier, which is about funding for national projects and national problems. Tier two mm-hmm. is about funding for international solutions. Tier three is about groups that operate in different areas and have a lot of humanitarian projects that they are attached to. And then there's tier four, both in groups and individuals, which is really letting this amazing abundance of prosperity filter down to the detail level. And then there's group tier five, which is people who have not been paying attention, but maybe somebody's given them
right.
some exotic currency and eventually they'll take it in and be pleasantly surprised.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're the tip of the iceberg of the change in the global economy and the global financial system to be based on common law and certain other legal changes. It's a big, big change in perspective. It's really a Copernican inversion from the not enough to the more than enough. So frankly, I don't know the details of how that gets worked out, but I say, woo-hoo!
Mm-hmm. So I think that that was absolutely fabulous. It was, you know, absolutely more than what we could have ever expected as far as information, you know, to help us move along, at least to get through the first three steps. And then that'll be a piece of cake. It'll be a piece of cake. Really, if you've done some homework, you've already started putting things together. Dr. Cure's advice, all of us, I mean, I can, you know, there are no words to express our thanks to you for all of this great, beautiful, very, very detailed and very, very comprehensive information that all of us have been seeking for. So thank you again for that. Everybody, you need to kind of go back, you know, take notes again, re-listen, make sure they get it embedded into your brain, go ahead and practice it, get your plans in order. It's this time now. Could you give us a little bit from your perspective, Dr. Kier, what you see as the current updates out there in the intel world?
Absolutely. I listened to a couple of different calls of varying quality, but that's, you know, sometimes you need a lot of different pieces to get the whole jigsaw puzzle to make some kind of sense. Frankly, I am really surprised that we're not already at the bank because, yes, you know, there's this little glitch or that little glitch, but what I do know is that at 2 a.m. Eastern Time every morning, they check the rates to see, this is on the bank screens, and then run a series of audits. And they're legal audits, security audits, financial audits, forex audits, there's details at a level that I don't even begin to comprehend. And if all the audits are clean, if they pass all that screening, then they tell the banks, or they tell whoever gives the final go, no go, and they tell the banks, and then the banks will issue the 800 numbers at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time. So, you know, I happen to be in Mountain Time at the moment, so from 6:30 I start looking. And you can look on the main site and see what comes up.
Sure.
The banks would prefer a weekend start because they would like people to be able to come in when they don't have quite as much normal traffic. Some of the other players, for some reason or other, prefer a Monday start, so we don't really know. I mean, it's already gone, obviously, 8:30 EST here, so it's probably going to be tomorrow. But last I heard, all the audits went through cleanly, and then there were just some tiny little glitches that had to be resolved. So we really are here, people.
Okay.
And I really have to emphasize that you get your bank folder together now if you have not already done it. This is not something to put off even to tomorrow, much less next week. So if you are not already on, I'm going to send all this information out to everybody who is already on my list. If you are not on my list and you wish to be on my list, again, my email address for this purpose is drkyre, that's drkyre, at me.com, that's me.com. And, you know, put something in the subject line or in the body of it that you were on the Zora call and you'd like the backup information. I will wait for a couple of hours, and then I will send out both this four-page summary, and I mentioned some templates and what have you that I will attach to the email as well. And this is all information that people who are already on my list have got over the last 6 weeks from the previous call. But, you know, it's one of those things that you can't have too much of.
Correct. So, and you're going to send me that information as well, so I'll put that on our newsletter.
Of course.
Information,
of course.
So they can do that. Okay, so
I will do that right away.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. And so I'll go ahead and do that as well. So it is real. It is time. So you can pre-celebrate because this is very, very real. Most people are still, really? I'm not going to believe it until, you know, I get that 800 number. It is real, folks. You've heard this a million times already, and it's been going and going for several months. And I know you're thinking, well, you know, yeah, but that you said that a month ago, you said that 3 months ago, you know, and it's still not here. I don't know what it takes for you to know that this is real. I think this presentation for today should really make it so real that you better get moving.
Hey, you know, go and iron your bank clothes and get your hair done and picture yourself there.
That's right. Absolutely. Pitch yourself. Get really, really moving into this today. You will know that you will be prepared, and then it will be here, and you'll be ready. So with that, Dr. Keir, any last sentence or two for everyone? Otherwise, I'm ready to call it a day.
Well, I am just so happy to be of service to you and to everyone listening. And, you know, I appreciate the opportunity. So thank you for having me on.
Yeah, thank you so very, very much. And best wishes to everyone. I'll get this information out to you in the next couple of hours or so. But it is here. And have everyone have yourself a wondrous and glorious and loving day. And thank you again very much, Dr. Keira Duff. We love you and thank you.
Amen. And goodbye.
Okay. Goodbye. All right, everyone. Thank you all for being... Oops, I got to get things closed here. Okay. Bye.